Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles, going back into that sweet letter to the Philippians. And I think we'll just go ahead and start reading the second chapter. I believe that's the best way to hit it tonight. We'll go from verse 1 in the second chapter of Philippians. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Praise the Lord. That is exciting stuff. Praise his name. Now, we've been through or into this second chapter a few weeks now. And just a little recap, verses 1 through 4. It encouraged us, brothers and sisters, so sweetly of the unity that we have been made in Christ. We are his very body. Amen? Amen. Not just a representation of it, brothers and sisters, but the actual body of Jesus Christ. I get excited about that. I'm so happy in the Lord that he's causing us to see the beauty of Jesus Christ in the saints, and the beauty of the body as well as the head, because it is the same. It's Jesus Christ. Christ in you. Christ in me. The hope of glory. Now, we enjoy and rejoice in the unity of the spirit and mind and love and our purpose to live. And it is our purpose, brothers and sisters. And our purpose is to run well. And our purpose is to win him. Till we all come is our theme by God's grace. All men be saved and come to a full, exact, complete knowledge, that intimacy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then verse 5, praise God, it told us and it tells us so clearly how this all transpires in our life. Yes, we have the life of Christ at the very moment of salvation. His life came to live in us. Amen. And we are thankful to God for it. But it is his mind, brothers and sisters. It is this word that if we will submit to it, yield to it, realize the necessity and the beauty that is in it and of its reigning in us, it will cause us to mature, as the sister prayed, as we rejoice, to grow up into him in all things, everything that he sees us to be all pleasing to the Father. pleasing to the Father so much that we even grow into the true worshiper that He is searching for, isn't He? The Father is searching at this time for the true worshiper who worships Him in spirit and in truth. And praise be to God, that is the goodly pearl, and that is His double portion, brothers and sisters. I appreciated the brother as he brought that to my heart. Sons of God, and yes, daughter-in-law of God. Praise His name. And can you imagine this double portion that will qualify for His son's wife? I'll tell you, it is just beyond. But then verses 6 through 8, he brings to us, His mind reigning brings us into joint sufferings with Jesus Christ. See, we're heirs of God. The Word of God tells us that when we accepted Christ as Savior, we became heirs of God, children, absolutely. He calls us sons, but in that, it's a child's son. He wants that son to grow up to be the mature sons of God, the mighty men. Those that would be complete, fully readied, not as the little sister, but as the fully readied, beautiful Shulamite who was ready and prepared to be married. Amen. Sister had a thought of it. She had an idea, but she was just a little one. She was in no way, shape, or form ready for that marriage. But brothers and sisters, we know that with Christ, it says, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that you'll suffer together with me, that ye also might be glorified together with me. Isn't that wonderful? Now, in knowing the joint sufferings with Jesus Christ in verses 6 through 8, we know and become a partaker and understand because of His life in us and yielding to it of the descending precious Lord. Very God, leaving that throne room, leaving the right hand of the Father, descending all the way down, even being made sin for us upon that cross. And then being made conformable unto His death, we fellowship in those sufferings. And praise be to God, we arrive then at this verse 9, brothers and sisters, this glorious verse 9, which brings us into knowing the power of His resurrection, knowing what God had intended for His Son, knowing that He will cause us someday by receiving His mind, by receiving that obedient mind, by receiving that yielded mind, by receiving that all-loving mind and that all-faith mind, believing God, amen, that we too will be glorified together with Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and read verses 9 through 11 again. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted Him. Notice it's Him. And given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Do you realize how privileged you are to bow at the name of Jesus right now? I pray we do. What a privilege. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I'm so grateful to God we preach the love of God. There's nothing to be forced here. Jesus is too good to force. It's our privilege. It's your opportunity to love the Lord, to realize how much He loves you. You talk about being happy in Jesus when you just receive how His thoughts are so toward you, always more numerous than the stars in heaven or the sands of the sea. It couldn't even be compared with how He adores us, brothers and sisters. And that every tongue, see, it's coming. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm so thankful the Father is pleased in us that we glory in that name. And notice, here's the theme of these three verses. It's that name. His name, brothers and sisters. Above all powerful, everything, everywhere, under that name. It's Jesus. Now we know that the Word of God tells us that He has not taken the throne as God yet. Yet. Not everything, brothers and sisters, that has breath, has breath, give Him praise as of yet. And not every knee shall bow and tongue confess that He is Lord. Not yet. But it will be. It will be. Let's go over and read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him." It's there. "But now we see not yet all things put under him." So the plan is there. Praise be to God. This is not the glory of God that's going to come about in this. This is not an if, brothers and sisters. This is merely a when. When it's going to be. See, we know we can count that because it's the Word of God. Aren't we thankful about the Word of God? So why do we decide to only take certain things in the Word of God and count that? God help us, huh? Help our unbelief? Count it. God said it, and it is so. It is impossible for him to lie. It will come to pass. And praise the Lord. This is his word. It will be after that 7-year tribulation that Jesus Christ will take the throne as God. And he will rule and reign as God for 1,000 years. And we are not in that time yet. That time is very clearly spelled out in the Word of God and known as the Kingdom Age. But God's precious people are asleep to this for the most part. We need to realize that we are in the all-glorious age, the church age, the age for the bride of Christ to come out. Praise the Lord that we know these things, brothers and sisters. This is the age for the people for his name's sake. This is the age for the goodly pearl. This is the age for those that are looking and loving his appearing now. Amen. Amen. See, preaching the word to every creature, which is the most prevalent doctrine that you'll hear in most Christian churches today, is for a later time. Amen? Amen. I mean, do you not follow up with that same portion of scripture? Where's the poisonous snakes? I'm not foolish enough. The reason I'm not foolish enough is because by God's grace, we rightfully divide the word. Amen? That's for a time that's coming when the lamb shall lay down with the lion, when the child shall play with that poisonous asp. God knows that. God tells us that in his word. But see, again, in man's goodness and self-righteousness, I'm going to do it my way. I want to feel good about what I'm going to do. No, I want to receive the will of God, and a lot of times that will is going to be something that is completely in the fellowship of his sufferings. It's going to be coming out from among them, coming out from the camp. It's going to be coming out from those that are our closest and most familiar family and friends, brothers and sisters, just like that sweet Rebecca. They wanted her to stay. They loved her, and there was a great love there. But we know she said, "Honeys, I got to go. I must part now. The Holy Spirit is dealing with me. And I've got a husband. And he's looking for me. He met me at the well, that Holy Spirit. And he's told me, honey, you're the one if you'll go." Praise the Lord. See, I don't want to be like a Vashti that'll say, "Oh, I'm the one. But you know what? I don't feel like coming out right now." Let me tell you something. You better come out now. You better jump on the camel and say, "Holy Spirit, let's get it on and let's go." You don't have to tell him that, but praise the Lord. Let him give you that fervent spirit to say, "Lord, let me take all the grace to go." But what we're reading here is this name, and we know it. This name is awesome. Isn't the name of Jesus awesome? Isn't it wonderful to say the name of Jesus? Sweetest name I know. I'm so grateful to God. I've known it. Probably the first name almost I ever knew. I've always known that name. And those that maybe haven't came into it, sweetest name you know too, isn't it? Amen. Jesus. Rest, peace. Also causes your heart to flutter. Just everything in the name of Jesus. Praise his name. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly what is all the glory that it's speaking of in this verse. All our glory. And yes, especially That wonderful wife's glory is Him. It's His name. I often have told you how fondly my mother, my dad's been with the Lord now for 10 years, but I'm so grateful to God every once in a while. She'll look at that name on an envelope, and I see her looking at her name, Mrs. John Odorsio. And she'll even run her fingers over it like this. Kind of like to do that with the Word of God, don't you? I love to touch the Word of God. It touched me. But I love to stroke even the Word, the pages on the Bible. There's something. Praise the Lord. But she looks at that name and she's so thankful. And I heard her say many times to me, "Oh, honey, isn't that the most beautiful name? Isn't your daddy's name the most beautiful name? I'm so thankful that I have that name." Now, that's not even a drop in the bucket to what the readied wife thinks of His name. Realize who He's making you, the name that He is writing across you. Praise the Lord. And how wonderful and marvelous that relationship is that He wants. So marvelous. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 3. And we'll read verse 12. Now we're here reading in this section of the seven churches. We're reading about the church of Philadelphia. And how wonderful here in this 12th verse, as it kind of sums it up about this wonderful group, this company of believers. Him that overcometh, from the 12th verse of the 3rd chapter, him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. I guess these are some standing saints, aren't they? Stand, withstand, and having done all to stand. Praise the Lord, you pillars. I'll make you a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I like that. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Well, my goodness. Name, name, name. I think there might even be a triple portion. Praise the Lord. This is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, it does. It's the better and the better and the better. But this is the full overcomer in Christ we're reading about here. This is the Church of Philadelphia, the believers spared. This is the ones that are spared, you'll see here, from the tribulation. They live up to that time, and they don't see that death. They're taken, just like an Enoch, just like Elijah. They're taken. Praise the Lord. See, people say, oh, well, being translated, you know, that's something that just couldn't be. I said, well, why couldn't it be? God can do anything, first of all, but he showed us. He did it. Enoch was not. God took him, and Elijah the same way. This isn't hard for God. Come on. This is nothing. And we know that this is what he's looking for himself, that Jesus Christ will be joined with his wife. But with the Lord are these saints, brothers and sisters, at the beginning of the Lord's day. And this is very important. We're going to touch back on it. But these are the saints, brothers and sisters, that meet Jesus Christ face to face at the beginning of the Lord's day. Yeah, that day, praise God, it goes for 1,000 years. Yeah, it does. It's a long day. We're so thankful. But I'm telling you, this is the beginning of the Lord's day. See, 1,000 years is as a day is as 1,000 years. Why wouldn't it be, huh? Let's know our word. Amen. Amen. You can't limit him. Those four living ones that are in Revelation chapter 4, verse 6, full of eyes, it says. They have perfect vision. They see this. There's a vision for this. They pant, just like David did. I see it, Lord. I see it's all in that cup of salvation. I want to take of it. And I want to drink and drink and drink and drink. That's where you want me to be, Lord, looking and longing and loving you, full of eyes within and without, in the midst of the throne. Some get a little confused about this. Again, that was chapter 4, verse 6. Well, these are beasts, it says. Well, it might even say living creatures. And then you go over to verse 9, and it says they were redeemed. Now, brothers and sisters, I got a little news for you. The only thing that can be redeemed is a human being. That's it. That's it. Not an angel, not a dog, not a cat. Sorry. All right. And I have a furry daughter at home, and that's fine, but I know she cannot be redeemed. The only one that can receive the blood is the precious man that God so loved that he came and gave his son to die. Oh, God, help us to wake up to how we're loved, huh? I pity man that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. I do. My heart hurts for them. My heart hurts for ones that know the Lord and turn other places. My heart aches for myself when I know I've wasted time. That's the repentant heart. Lord, I already know you forgave me. It has nothing to do with forgiveness. You already did that. My sins are gone. But I got a broken heart that I haven't been yielding. My heart hurts that I've squandered time. You love me so. I'm so sorry, Lord. That's repentance. That's what that is. Now, these are some saints, brothers and sisters, redeemed out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. And they got the name, here it says in this 12th verse. Look at that. They got the name of the Father. That's pretty good stuff. Sons, children of God. And then it goes on to say, now wait a second though. You also got the name New Jerusalem. Oh, there she is descending out of heaven. Revelation 21 verses 9 through 11. Some of the most precious scripture in the whole Word of God. That 21st chapter. Amen. But then, brothers and sisters, the new name. Oh my goodness. A new name I will write upon him. Bridegroom, the Lamb's wife, praise the Lord. A triple portion, if I would say that. But praise God, it's all there in her. Brothers and sisters, this truly is a moment. And this is why three different times in this wonderful first and just into this second chapter of Philippians, Paul mentions here by the Holy Spirit the day of Jesus Christ. It's very important. It's a very important moment. It's the moment he's going to be face to face with his wife. It's the moment that his wife is going to be caught up together with him in the air. We're so thankful for that, brothers and sisters. It truly is kind of like the "it is finished." Praise God. And now, by God's grace, the ages to come are to begin because she is with me. Do you realize that, brothers and sisters? Do you know that it says that until he that hindereth is taken out of the way, that's her. It's the wrath isn't going to come. He loves her so much. The enemy is being held back at this time. He hasn't come forth like a roaring lion yet. We've seen some awful stuff with sin, but we haven't seen anything yet. Because he so loves the bride and she is still getting ready, he is holding it back. And praise the Lord what he's told her. He said, you know, honey, you've accepted my name. You read this third chapter of Philippians and you read this sweet portion here about this Philadelphia church. It says, you've accepted my name and you didn't deny it. That's verse 8. She held it dear. She treasured that crown. My name, that exalted rank of righteousness. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. And now the time, Jesus Christ is saying, when I'm going to be fully exalted, it's hers as well. It is hers as well. See, he's waiting. He's not even taking the throne as God until he has his wife. Until he has the one that will jointly rule and reign with him, he is not going to take that place, brothers and sisters. It is wonderful. Glorified together with me, he's going to say, it is here and it is all yours, my love. This is ours together. My glory is your glory, for you are my glory, my love, my fair one. What do you think of that? I'm glad I go to Bible study. I'm glad I've went to Bible studies. I'm glad by the grace of God, this is that same wondrous truth that we keep in remembrance and do not let these things slip. Now, It is hard for some to believe. But as the Word of God says, those that wrestle, quit being a wrestler. Believe God. It's been that way all the time, hadn't it? Amen. Any time that we were not receiving what God wanted to receive, it's because we were wrestling with it. Jacob showed us that very clearly. He was wrestling with something. God had already given him something better. You say, what a nut. Well, I'm looking at a bunch of nuts sometimes, including myself. Why don't I just believe God? Salvation, hallelujah. Infilling of the Holy Spirit, evidence, speaking of tongue, hallelujah. I love that brother. He said, you know what, I need that. That sounds good to me. I need that. Let me tell you something. You get into the throne of grace, you need it all. And here it is, brothers and sisters. This is what you're going to meet in the throne of grace. The Word, Jesus Christ. This is it. And hallelujah that He so sweetly, that Holy Spirit takes these things of Christ. Again, we've already been blessed with them. But He shows them to us. Just like we read, I so appreciate Galatians 4:1 coming so real to our lives. You know, you're a child of God. But you're going to operate just as a servant until you grow up. That's it. And it is that. And you're not going to have any, in a sense, of really appreciation or enjoyment. You talk about happiness. And the thrill of knowing what's yours. When He says, honey, you've been born into this. This is yours. You are, and that word is Lord of all. It is all yours. Praise God. Everything. I want to grow into that. I want to know what that's about. Not the things, but Him. 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 All right. Now. Grace, brothers and sisters, takes us there. Grace does. And it takes us there, and it will be nothing short of it if we will let Him. If we will let His mind. If we will let His mind of love, He will have us sitting in the midst of the throne, jointly ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, if we will let Him. Amen? Amen. He tells us these things. We rejoice in these things. God help us to not just read them, not to just get happy for a moment, but to realize this is who we are in Christ. This is Christ in me, the hope of glory. This is what Christ's life brought into me to become, hallelujah, this descending one having the glory of God. Amen. That new Jerusalem, that name, that new name, bridegroom, God help us to get a little excited about these things. But brothers and sisters, Revelation 3:9, it brings it home. Yes, you, even me, known to all. He said, I'll make it known to all that I have loved you. I like that. Not to prove something, but just, man, I love you. You're going to show me you love me. I like that. And that He will have them, don't stop there, see, come and bow down and worship before you if you'll let Him. Now, see, brothers and sisters, in my mind, in certain respects, I have to tell you, I can't explain that. I don't understand that. The one thing I do know, though, and I'm learning more and more all the time, is the love of God. And the love of God has no bounds. And the love of God is showing us something here that He's saying, hey, honey, you're going to be, if you'll let this happen, glorified together with me. I've given you all of these types. I've given you all of these shadows. What do you think about Ruth? Sure, you know, she wasn't from that people. She wasn't worthy in any way, shape, or form. Shoot, she was just coming to find grace in the field. Here, I'll go ahead and just, you know, tend the field with the boys. No, honey, I want you in there with the maidens. Because I see marriage material in you. And she speedily took it. And God had her marrying Boaz in no time. Huh? Esther the same way. That little orphan girl. Who was she but a nothing? An outcast? Nobody really thought of her. But the Holy Spirit saw something there. Boom. Honey, you take everything that I have. You take nothing else. You go before him, and I'm going to tell you something. You're going to ravish his heart. I know him. I know him so well because I'm here to speak of him and take the things that he has and show them unto you. I'm part of that wonderful Godhead. I understand this. We're in perfect harmony, and this is the plan of the Father. And this is what we're going to do if you'll let him, if you'll let me work, if you'll yield to this, if you'll take this spirit of truth, me, and allow me to show you the things that he has blessed you with, that he sees for you, that he's made in you because of his life to grow up into, you will have this. Isn't that incredible? Yes, it is the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. You know, you didn't think about when you were born, well, I got to grow up to be 34. I just don't know how I'm going to do it. Yeah, really, think of that. Now, just be. Just be. Praise the Lord. And here it is. This is the truth. This is the word of God. Let us grow up into it, and it growing up into us, into all things. Praise his name. Now, brothers and sisters, the Philadelphia Company is truly, it's beyond our wildest dreams. It is. But that's exactly what the word of God is. It's beyond anything you could imagine. It's beyond anything that's entered into the hearts of men. What eye has seen, ear has heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men, what God has prepared for them that love him. You love him? You love him? I mean, do you love him? Can you imagine? No, you can't. Even though I love that song, no, you can't imagine. You can't. Because the word of God says so. It's even beyond that. As my son said, Daddy Papa's way. Got to eat the peach. He'll bring you there. All right. Now, are you still stunned a little bit? I think you are. Either you're having a hard time with hump day, or I don't know what it is. But I'm just teasing you. Let's read on, verses 12 through 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. Isn't that something? Do you really think that these folks, now, I know our perception of always obeyed. I think they're a lot like you. And I think they're a lot like me. By God's grace. Can be some ornery people sometimes. Little feisty. Here and there. But they obey the truth. The word of God. And brothers and sisters, this company, though, is continuing to allow that word to work effectually in them. That they're entering in to that tightly compacted, wonderful knit body. They're allowing the Lord to bring that to pass in their lives. And the evidence, as we're going to read here, all things without murmurings or disputings. See, the children of Israel showed us this a long time ago. We murmur. We're not going to enter in to the promise. You're just not going to. You're not going to enter in to that wondrous promise that he has. God help us to be a people that just love the Lord and love his truth. But see, brothers and sisters, in verses 12 through 16, we'll go ahead and read that again. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. That's quite a commendation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Among them ye shine as lights in the world. We'll go ahead and stop right there. Now, think about that. They simply believed God. That's what it was. We go back to what the word of God said about them. Paul was always joyous for these brothers and sisters. And why? Because their fellowship was always in the gospel of Christ. It didn't get distorted. It didn't go about a cause. It wasn't about the next housing projects that we're going to build or this that we're going to do. Those are all wonderful after effects of different things that God may have us to do. But the purpose, the sole purpose, is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we would come to a full knowledge of the truth. That's the fellowship of the gospel of Christ, brothers and sisters. That was the beautiful thing about this company, that Paul was rejoicing so that they were the saints of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, which he will get at here shortly if the Lord tarry. But they simply believed God. They didn't let these things slip, and they always kept them in remembrance. That is the obedience to the word of God. Not just on a Sunday, not just on a Wednesday, not just when the pastor was around. Isn't that wonderful? It was the real thing. And thanks be to God, as I even read this, I was thinking about dear Brother Hill, pastor, our pastor for so many years. And in his absence, I commend us, saints. I believe we're going on at even a more fervent rate. That's just God. There's nothing to be compared about it. It's just God. When you go with God, it does increase at a re-increasing rate. There is more to grow, isn't there? You're not here to go on a flat line. You're here to go like this. And praise the Lord, the more that we preach the gospel of Christ and fellowship in the gospel of Christ, he will expand these wineskins. It's the same truth, but my goodness, that room, Lord, it's so big. It's huge. It's awesome. How much there is and how much the more there is all the time and in the ages to come. It's all the exceeding riches of his grace. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. We're touching upon it and touching upon it. But until we have a body like unto his own glorious body, oh my goodness, then, praise God, it's all out. But even that, it'll never be exhausted. What a time. You see why you can't imagine? You can't. Praise the Lord. All right. But here we go. Work out your own salvation. This is awesome. Work out means to let it be performed. That's right. Let it. Can you imagine that? Let it be performed. What be performed? Your deliverance. Deliverance from what? Everything. Isn't that what a full overcomer in Christ is? Amen. Amen. Come on now. Let it be performed. The full overcoming in all things in our lives, brothers and sisters, so much that, how about a complete salvation, a deliverance even occurring at the first trump, delivering us right out of this world and face to face with Jesus Christ. The moment of the wedding of weddings that begins, the moment, praise God. See, we're saying our vows right now in a sense, but praise be to God, I think there's one last one, maybe I do in a kiss. I don't know. Sure sounds good to me. But then, notice how it's performed, and I'll move along here. It's performed in us by fear and trembling. And these are some wonderful words here. We just got to understand them by God's grace. Fear. You got to stay with this. This is just beyond. Everything has so much meaning in God's word. But fear here means reverence to one's husband. Isn't that awesome? I love that. What does fear mean? Work, you know, let it be performed in your life. Reverence to the husband. Sounds like I need grace for that. Amen? Amen. But it's reverence to the husband. Praise God. That's how he loves us. And see, looking again at that love, faith worketh by love. I can believe this because of the love of God. I don't believe anything in the word of God unless I see his love in it. It's just not going to happen. Faith which worketh by love. And when I see by God's grace and as the Holy Spirit reveals to me his love in every dimension and how immense it is, then by God's grace, I can understand this and he can work that love in my heart to reverent my husband. It is beyond perfect here. She is a readied wife. She gives him complete reverence now. She is in awe of who he is. She is in awe of that he loves her. She is in awe, and I am in awe every day. You're crazy about me? Think about that. And then, praise God, you just settle down in it, and you say, well, I'll tell you what, you crazy about me, I'm wild about you. Amen. And that's what it is. We love him because he first loved us. Praise God. Now, trembling. I tell you, he just keeps building. The word of God just builds upon itself. So we have reverence to the husband, but here's what trembling means. One who distrusts his own ability completely. Do you distrust your own ability completely? Boy, I hope you do. Isn't he the one and the only one that really is able? See, I do not want to have confidence in man, and that includes me, whose breath is in his nostril. My confidence by God's grace is in him and him alone. It's all him. All by receiving his love, brothers and sisters, the power that he gives us. That's what causes us, as we're reading here, to will and to do of his good pleasure in me. See, the way, the right way, all of that, it could never be performed by me. It can be performed in me by grace. It can be performed in me by God. But there's none that seeketh after God. There's none that do good. There isn't. And apart from grace, brothers and sisters, we're hopeless. We are hopeless. But thanks be to God that grace encourages us all the way along. See, it's his grace, brothers and sisters, that we understand that we're completely, totally reliant upon our husband. Amen? Isn't the body reliant upon the head? Amen. That mind, those thoughts, all supply, it fully comes from the headship, Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why these brothers and sisters here in this Philippi, these saints that they were talking to here, these Philadelphia saints, they were so joyous because they allowed the effectual working, the unity of the Spirit, the mind of Christ, the love of God, that oneness to reign. Don't we want that? Amen. You would want that, but especially want that. You know why? Because it pleases the Father. It gives all glory to God. Thank the Lord. That's why you come to church. To please him? Well, this is the high calling of it. This is the epitome of it. This is the pinnacle of God's double portion. Isn't that wonderful? Not just for us, but for the Father, for the Son. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, this is it. This is the epitome of it all. But see, brothers and sisters, we need to realize it was his desire that even brought us. It's his field that we glean. It's his fruit that's produced. And all I do by grace is take from him freely. And because he loves me so and I believe in his love, I can say it is mine. It is mine because it's his and I am his and he is mine. That's the word of God. And with that insurance, brothers and sisters, then we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can then live joyfully. We can rejoice in all things, as the word of God says here, without murmurings and disputings. Because, brothers and sisters, we have hope. We believe in the word of God. And that way we can patiently wait for these things. Romans 8:18 tells us, "For I reckon." See, that means I count. I like that word. I count it. It's done. It's in the account. What do I count? That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. That means it's not even worthy to be mentioned in the same mentioning. It shouldn't have even been mentioned, but God had to mention it to us to not mention it. Isn't that amazing? Think of this. I love how the Lord speaks to us, woos us. But it's the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In us. See, and you take that Romans 8 chapter, you know what he's building towards there. Heirs and joint heirs. The ones that will rule and reign with him. So here's the glory in us again. And where is that glory just so magnified? In that one with the three names. The one descending from heaven, that new Jerusalem, the bride, the Lamb's wife, having the glory of God. She's something. She is so altogether lovely because he's altogether lovely and she is like him. Hallelujah. Now, these last two verses, and we'll hit them quick. And how amazing. You talk about it just building up. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. See, testimony is so important. But this isn't of me. This is, again, read what we read before we got here. It's God who works in us. It's the grace of God that works in us. It's from the inside out. Amen. This is the testimony. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Isn't that wonderful? He's even saying about running in vain. He doesn't want to have that thought in his heart as well, too, because he's got that pressing till we all come. See, Paul is preaching that message, that glorious body, and God is encouraging this brother to continue to preach. But it takes it right over the top here, brothers and sisters. See, this is not just a church, but this is the glorious church. This is the glorious church without spot or wrinkle, found in only his righteousness alone. This is the stunning one. She is altogether lovely because his love loves through her without dissimulation. These saints loved one another. The Church of Philadelphia is the church of brotherly love. It's so wonderful how all of this starts coming together, the unity of the spirit and of the love and the mind. See, there is nothing that can be held against her. It cannot be. She shines as lights in the world, and someday even revealed as the glory of the sun, her own light, him so magnified in her that she is blinding in her beauty. Yeah, she is. Esther came out when she was ready. And all the king could go, Abba, Abba, Abba. It's all yours. You just got it. It's all yours. The grace of God can do it. It really can. You see why you could never even touch that? You couldn't do it. We are his workmanship. His workmanship. All right. And here is why it all comes to pass. It's right there in that 16th verse. Those first little words there. Holding forth the word of life. If you haven't taken anything yet tonight, and I believe we have, God help us receive this. This word holding forth means to have and to hold. Those are wedding vows. You go to weddings to have and to hold. And they're being spoken right now in the lives of those, and I pray by grace it's our lives, brothers and sisters, those that truly want him, that want to win him. To have and to hold the word of eternal life. This truly is the saint in that body that's cherishing the crown, that cherishes his name, that holds it fast, a chaste virgin to Christ, a love so far beyond there is no second. We've not left the first love. Thou hast kept my word. And Paul here, brothers and sisters, is preaching to us, and to us he is, rejoicing in the day of Christ. And again, this is the third time he's emphasizing the day of Jesus Christ. It's an important moment. That first trump, when it's done, it's too late. The Lord's been bringing back that innumerable multitude. It meets Christ, and those tears got to come out. They've got to be wiped away. There was something missed. There was a sadness. I read nothing sad about those four living ones. Those are some ecstatic people. You talk about an ecstasy in the midst of the throne. Worshiping, praising, singing. Ruling and reigning. Even bringing forth judgment. What a precious study Revelation is. But you'll read about that day of the Lord. Remind you again, Philippians 1, 6, 1:10, and now here. And Paul says, I want to rejoice in it for you, that you win him, that we too, brothers and sisters, finish this course with joy, that we run well, that we truly are as the Ephesian saints. That word Ephesians means fully purposed. That we didn't just run to finish, but we ran to win. And you run to win with a full joy. And when you know that Jesus Christ wants to marry you, are you listening? When you really know that Jesus Christ, this isn't a concept, it's not just something we talk about, but his proposal, brothers and sisters, is to you, your heart will rejoice. It'll rejoice always, and it will be a joy unspeakable and full of glory. It will satisfy you like none other. You'll be like that wife that's waiting, that knows that the husband is coming. He's already given you that ring, that crown, hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And you're just waiting, fully prepared, just as that little Jewish bride, she goes to sleep even with her clothes on. And let me tell you something. She's so excited when she's got her clothes on, let me tell you, she's not sleeping. Her eyes are wide open. As a matter of fact, she's sitting there at the window. See, there's a window in the ark, isn't there? I got to stop. But it's just too good. Thank you, Jesus. It is so awesome. Let's stand and be dismissed.